NPR News in Washington, I'm Barbara Klein. Doctors at University Medical Center in Tucson have upgraded Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords' condition from critical to serious. They say she continues to do well and breathe on her own since yesterday's procedures freed her from a ventilator. Giffords was shot in the head during the rampage in Tucson 8 days ago. Tunisia's prime minister says a provisional coalition government will be announced by tomorrow. The country's autocratic president fled after weeks of protests, ending a 23-year rule. From the capital, Tunis, Eleanor Beardsley reports many people say they're focusing on the future.
Tunisia has been under a state of emergency since Friday, with public gatherings banned and a strict dusk-to-dawn curfew in force. But Sunday, there were more people out on the streets and they looked more relaxed. Many spoke to journalists without fear, like 30-year-old Ben Youssef Outman.
We're
very proud to be Tunisians today, he says. We carried out a real putsch by the people and the whole world is watching us. After taking over from the ousted president Ben Ali on Saturday, interim president Foued Mabaza said that all Tunisians without exception would now be able to take part in national politics. But later in the day, gunshots rang out and shattered the sense of calm. Sporadic violence continues as the country waits to see what happens next. For NPR News, I'm Eleanor Beardsley in Tunis.
Haiti's exiled former dictator Jean-Claude Duvalier has just arrived back in the country for the first time since he was deposed. NPR's Jason Beaubien is at the airport in Port-au-Prince.
There are huge crowds outside the Port-au-Prince airport. People have been chanting Jean-Claude Duvalier. The people have come to see Baby Doc, who left here in 1986. He has been in exile in Paris. The people who are here are very excited for his return. They say that they believe that this will bring stability and bring back, in their view, the good old days to Haiti.
NPR's Jason Beaubien in Port-au-Prince. More than 1 million people in Sri Lanka are dealing with massive flooding. Dozens have died, and the United Nations says blocked roads and destroyed bridges are limiting its ability to get emergency aid to survivors. From Geneva, Lisa Schlein reports more than 360,000 people are homeless.
UNICEF reports about a third of the more than 1 million people affected by floods in Sri Lanka are children. Spokeswoman Marixi Mercado says children are among the most vulnerable in flood emergencies because many can't swim or fend for themselves.
Children in this region, recovering from the conflict over a year and a half ago, a tsunami 6 years ago, these floods constitute a major setback.
Mercado says the Sri Lankan military is delivering UNICEF relief supplies in boats, as most roads are impassable. For NPR News, I'm Lisa Schlein in Geneva.
This is NPR News. In Brazil, the death toll from last week's flooding and mudslides has now climbed to more than 600. Many neighborhoods in the mountains north of Rio de Janeiro are buried in mud and rubble. New insight into one of World War II's key players. Britain has just released documents suggesting Winston Churchill may have been mentally and physically hanging on by a thread by the end of the war. As Larry Miller reports from London, the information comes from Churchill's personal physician.
We shall fight on the beaches.
Winston Churchill's work deteriorated and his character suffered because of years of stress, according to his doctor of 25 years.
We shall never surrender.
Lord Moran wrote that while Churchill was fighting the Nazis, he developed an intolerance of criticism and a bad temper, refusing to take medical advice. Churchill was described as willful, opinionated, and undisciplined, and that he spent half the night smoking and drinking. Near the end of the war, Churchill often lost concentration mid-sentence. War historian Thomas Weber told London Sunday Times that a less exhausted Churchill might have been harder on Stalin at Yalta when negotiating Europe's post-war reorganization. For NPR News, I'm Larry Miller in London.
A public safety video released by the Montana Department of Transportation is raising some questions. The video features a horse picking up a rider at a bar. It's intended to encourage people who drink alcohol to get a safe ride home. Montana prizes its horse culture, and the police chief of Helena says he's receiving a lot of calls from residents wanting to know if riding a horse while under the influence is legal. The chief says he's assuring them it is. I'm Barbara Klein, NPR News in Washington. Support.